Pray for us today, so we hope it'll be a blessing to you this morning.
You all pray for us. If we mess up, just pray harder.
That's all.
Away. sinner, come.
Jesus now,
at his dear feet, just humbly bow,
confess to him,
your every sin, he'll save and cleanse you, give you peace,
glory,
and joy with him.
Amen. 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 Be able to sing and do your best for the Lord.
Amen, brother.
We appreciate the time they took to practice for today's singing. If you have a Bible today, open it up, please, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. We have a Schofield Bible that will be page 1251 in the Schofield Bible.
Amen.
Your Bible's not a King James, it won't sound right. We use the King James Bible.
That's right.
Because we believe it's God's Bible for the English-speaking world.
That's right.
And I believe it has a record to prove that God's hand has been on it down through the years.
Amen, Brother Rick.
I have 13 to 14 or 15 versions in my office. I believe one.
Heaven!
I sometimes read from others, but if they differ from this one, I go with this one.
Right.
Because I believe it is the standard. I believe it is the authorized version, as
that's
it says
right
on the front. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, we'll read down through verse 18. We will read verse 16 together this morning as a text verse. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Read verse 16 in unison. And that he might reconcile both of God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you that were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Thank you, may be seated. Our Father, we do ask that you'd add your blessing today to the reading of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, Lord, we pray. May Christ be glorified and the cross lifted up. And we'll thank and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The cross makes up the story of the Bible.
That's right.
And without the cross, without the New Testament cross, where that Christ died, without it, there is just no good news to tell.
That's right.
Without the cross, there would be no Christmas story.
Amen.
Because Christ came as a baby. He was born to die. He came into this world to die upon the cross for the sins of the world.
That's right.
Without the cross, there would be no Easter message.
That's right.
Because before that he could ever resurrect, he had to die upon the cross.
Right.
Without the cross, there is no good news for sinners.
Amen.
The Bible said it's as cold water to a thirsty soul. Proverbs 25:25, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country to them that hear it.
Heaven.
And the cross is the good news from a far country to those that hear it, that Christ died on the cross for hell-bound sinners.
Heaven.
The cross is the hub of the gospel in which all the spokes of the Bible run to.
Amen.
As we look here in Ephesians 2, what a tremendous chapter Ephesians 2 is.
And it starts out by telling us what we were, meaning those that are saved now, what we were.
Yeah.
And it says that in time past you walked according to the course of this world.
That's right.
Now that's what you did do.
Amen.
Now that you're saved, you should not be walking according to the course of this world. You should be walking a new course.
Yes.
That God has set you upon. He tells us about a crisis that we once were in when he said that there was a time when you were without Christ. Oh, I don't want to remember a time when I was without Christ, but I do.
Yeah.
There was a time when we were without Christ and being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise and having no hope. My, how strong those words are when he says, having no hope. Without Jesus, there is no hope.
That's right.
Without the cross, there is no hope.
Amen.
All other religions can offer no hope except the one that offers the cross of the Christ that died upon him. The Bible said, and we were without God in the world. But then in our text verse, it starts out to tell us what God has done for us through the cross. He says that he is our peace, and he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us and God.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan made famous that statement when he was president, when he spoke to the Russian leader, and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. I'm glad 2,000 years ago that God used Christ and a cross to tear down a wall that was between us and God.
Amen.
And thereby giving us access into the Lord.
Amen.
He said, having abolished in his flesh the enmity and the commandments that were written against us. You see, all of us were condemned because of the Ten Commandments that declare that all of us are sinners.
Amen.
But I'm glad that Christ came and on the cross he fulfilled all the law and he fulfilled all the demands of the law so that you and I this morning might be able to be that new man that he speaks about in the Word of God this morning. And then he says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, he's saying that he might reconcile the Jew and the Gentile into one body because of the cross.
Yeah.
Now, when we look at that this morning, we realize that we have been reconciled to God.
Right.
And he said he came. God, he came and preached peace to them that were afar off and to them that were nigh. For he said, through him we both have one access. We have one access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Yeah.
I'm glad that this morning I could get up and I could go straight into the throne room of God.
Yeah.
Pray this morning. I didn't need a priest to go for me.
Yeah.
I could go by myself because when he died on the cross, the veil was rent in twain, giving access into the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
This morning I'm thinking as I read these verses here, and God tells us what the cross has done for us. And the message of the cross is a message that will never get old.
Right.
We'll see in our scripture reading this morning, we'll see that even when all is finished and the church is raptured and we begin into that perfect eternity with the Lord, we'll see that the cross is still a theme in heaven.
Amen.
So we look at this morning, and I want to think about this morning what the cross should do for us or what the cross has done for us. I want to say this morning that more than likely, if you're saved this morning, there's probably not very many of you that went to church that morning with the purpose of getting saved. Now, I know there's some folks, and I met some folks, and I had some folks here that came in and came straight to me and said, Preacher, I come to get saved today. I want to get saved today. But that's not a regular occurrence. What happened to most of us is we came into a revival, or we came into a Sunday morning service or a church service, and the preacher was there, and he proclaimed the gospel message of how that Christ died for our sins upon the cross. And what happened was that when we heard that message of the cross, when we heard it in the power of God, when we heard it and it brought conviction to our heart, the message of the cross interrupted our plan. In other words, we didn't plan that morning on getting saved, but the cross came into our world and it interrupted our plans. I think about where it talks about in Mark 14. How did our Lord, the soldiers said, led him into the hall called Praetorium. They called together the whole band and they clothed him with purple, planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. They began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. They smote him on the head with a reed and then spit upon him and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And there compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear the cross. And they bring him into the place Golgotha, which being interpreted as a place of a skull, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Now here we have a picture of how the cross, how that it interrupts our plans. Here is a man that's on his way to the Passover festivities. He's on his way with his two children there, and they're on their way. He doesn't want to be a part. He doesn't want to participate in what's going to happen there. But as he's standing in the way, the soldiers no doubt grab him and ask him to bear the cross of our Lord. His plans were interrupted. He didn't go there. He went there for the festivities of the day. He went there for the things that were going on that day. But the cross interrupted his plans. May I tell you this morning, you may have came this morning for the sermon and the song. You may have came for the fellowship, and you didn't really come to get saved this morning. You didn't really come today to make any commitment to the Lord. But can I tell you, the cross has a way sometimes of interrupting in our life and changing our plans. I'll tell you this morning that I never made no commitments about preaching and being a preacher all of my life. Preaching is not a decision that you make. Preaching is a call that God gives a man into the ministry. Amen. And I heard Brother James Jones say one time how true it is that preaching is not something that you decide to do. And he said nobody would ever understand what it is to be called into the ministry and what it is to have that commitment in your life and to be committed to Him. They'll never understand unless they have received that call itself. And I'll tell you, the cross interrupted my life and my plans. When I graduated high school, they done a little thing during our senior year, a little senior paper that the school did there, and they asked people what they were going to do when they graduated. My plans at that time was to go to Louisville and to become a mortician was what my plans were. And they would write down what you were going to do, and then out from it they would write a little funny comment. Now beside my name in there in that school paper it says is going to become a mortician. Now to the side of it they wrote these words, will probably preach his own funeral. Well, they didn't realize how prophetic those words may have become. Amen. So I guess in a way, even though I'm not in the business of a mortician and certainly not making the money they make, but in some ways I guess I still am preparing people, not after they die, but preparing them to get ready to die. Amen. But I'm saying the cross has a way of interrupting our lives. You see, we don't like to think about death. That's why people don't like to be around a preacher. He represents death. To them, he represents death. So they don't like to be around a preacher. He represents death and gloom and all the things they don't want to think about. That's why they'd rather not have him into their festivities of deity and whatever they might be doing, because it kind of cast a black cloud over them. Just his figure does that. But you see, the cross does that. The cross makes us face death. Amen.
Hey.
And brother and sister, this morning we must keep in mind that we all are going to die. Amen.
Hey.
Just looking this morning, Sister Cheryl had an aunt that died. And she was here at church not too long ago, friend of Sister Wanda's. And I was just looking this morning on the obituary where that she had died just a few days ago. And how many names now have already been added since her death. Can I tell you, people are leaving here every day. And the cross makes us become confronted with the fact that we must think about dying. Amen. You must think about dying. I must think about dying because it is a reality. Amen. We don't want to think about it. We rather think about life. But we must think about death, and the cross does that. The cross calls us to a decision.
That's right.
You see, we're indecisive. We don't want to be pinned down to anything.
You're preaching, brother.
We're indecisive. We'd rather wait. We're like Felix said, wanted to wait and hear it at a better time. And that's the way we are. But the cross, when it's preached in the power, and the cross, when it's brought to your heart by the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
It calls you to a decision. You must make a decision about whether or not you'll take up the cross and follow Him, or whether you will not. Amen.
Amen.
You see, Pilate did not want to make that decision. Pilate did not want to make a decision for Christ. And so he washed his hands and he said, I won't go for one side or the other. I wash my hands of this matter. But can I tell you, nobody can wash their hands.
Amen, brother.
But Jesus.
That's right.
Pilate's wife said, don't have anything to do with this man.
Yeah.
Nobody cannot have anything to do with Jesus.
That's right. Man.
Because He is the judge. We must all stand before Him and give an account of ourselves. And so we must make a decision. The cross calls us to make a decision. I like that song, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Glory.
Amen. You see, the cross faces us with our denials. Are we willing to take up the cross and to follow the Lord and to live the Christian life that God would have us to live? So we see the cross as a way of interrupting our plans.
Amen.
But when we look at the cross and we see the cruel death that Christ died, why would such a good man have to die for such bad people like us? That is the question that's often asked. Amen. Sometimes people ask, why am I going through this? Why am I suffering in this way? Well, I can understand why that I might have to suffer and why that I might have to go through things in this life, because I know my heart and I know how wicked that man can become and how evil that we all have lying within us. And I can understand how that we might have to suffer in this life. But when we look to the cross and we see Him that didn't have to, but He was willing to suffer in our place, I want to say the cross ignites, it should ignite our passion.
Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching, brother.
When I see what He's done for me,
Amen.
Bless Him, Lord.
That's what makes you love your mama and daddy so much, if you got them, mom and dad. And as they get older, you appreciate them more.
Right?
Because you realize what they've done for you.
Bless you, preacher. Amen.
And you look at their hands and realize they've cooked, they've ironed, they've prepared meals, they've washed your face when you were little, they took care of you. And as you grow older, you appreciate them so much more because of what they've done for you. Amen. But when I look at Christ and what He did on the cross, it makes my passion rise for Him. That He, listen, He that knew me and knew how I was. When I was unlovable, Christ died for me. Amen. It wasn't when I was lovable, when I was good, when I was a churchgoer, when I was a tither, when I was a Bible reader, when I was a prayer. I was none of that, but He loved me even when I was unlovable.
Yeah.
I want to say praise God this morning.
Amen.
Lord, ignite our passion today that Christ would love us in that kind of a way.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
He took our beating, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Amen. Isaiah 53:6, he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yeah.
And he was bruised for our iniquities. He suffered our shame, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I realize we've lived down to a society where the people don't have the shame that they used to have and they ought to have. You say, what do you mean? Well, I mean, used to, even folks that wasn't a Christian, they had a certain little bit of morals about
them. You're right.
Amen. And there was no way that even folks that wasn't Christian would want to go out in public without any clothes or at least enough clothes. But you see, people do not have that shame today like they used to have, or at least most of them do not. Amen. I want you to know, listen, Christ, on the cross, Christ was stripped naked and hung there on the cross. And the Bible says he was in joy to go to the cross for us. But the Bible said he despised the shame. He did not like having to hang there in public naked. He did not like to hang there in that way. I'll tell you, folks, if we got any morals about us and we got any holiness in our heart,
yeah.
We won't want to run around without enough clothes on,
right?
Any clothes on. There is embarrassment about that, shame about that.
Right.
But Christ suffered my shame, and my passion, my heart rises to Him because I realize how much He loved me. Thank God.
My blessing, Brother Rick. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, the cruelty He suffered. Sometimes we say people didn't treat me right. Maybe they didn't. Sometimes we say people were unkind to me, and they might have been.
Bless him, Lord.
Sometimes we might say people raised their voice and was rude to me, and they may have been. We shouldn't be that way. Especially as church members and as Christians, we should treat each other with respect. And we should not raise our voice or yell at each other, but realize that we are all children of God if we've been saved. And we ought to be able to have that natural love in the heart for brothers and sisters. That a person in this world, if you have a natural love, you love your brother, you love your sister, you love your mother, you love your father. And if we have a birth into the next world, we have a natural love that should make us love people. We don't always understand people. We don't always even like people. But we should always love people.
Amen.
In the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We look at this and we say that Christ had such love for sinners.
Yeah, He did, brother.
It makes me love Him more.
That's right.
Amen. When I hear the cross preached, and I think about how that He died for me, and He suffered for me.
Amen.
As well as be separated from me. But you know that Christ was with God from eternity. When you read Genesis, the Bible says that the Lord says, let us make man in our image. Somebody's there. I don't believe He's talking to the angels. Somebody's there. He had to create the angels. He had to create that anointed cherubim that became Satan. But can I tell you, there's somebody there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
That's right.
Christ was there. In John 17, He's getting ready to go back, and His earthly life's about over. And He says, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world ever was. If you've ever lost your earthly father, if you've ever lost your earthly mother, if you had a good fatherly relationship, you know how hard it was to be separated by death. Amen.
Right.
But can I tell you that on the cross, Christ came sin for us.
Right.
The Bible said that He cried and He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? No other time that He'd ever called Him God. He always called Him my Father.
Amen.
My Father. But when He died on the cross in my place and in your place, He became sin for us.
Amen.
Now, He that knew no sin became sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
But at that moment when He became sin, because sin separates us from God,
Amen.
He had to be separated from His Father. And He said, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did that because he loved you and he loved me. Amen. If he was separated on the cross, then you and I may never have to be separated in eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Good preacher.
Good.
Yes.
Amen. Did I tell you the cross, it ought to do something for us?
Amen, brother.
You say, preacher, I've been saved for a while and I've sung the old rugged cross and at the cross and the blood that stained the old rugged cross and all those songs about the cross, and I've kind of grown familiar with them. Well, I know that's true as human beings. The human part of us grows familiar with us. But there ought to be something about that cross that every time we hear it, that we're reminded that without the cross, we'd not be saved this morning.
That's right.
Without the cross, we could not live the Christian life.
Amen.
Without the cross.
Amen.
How important the cross is to us as children of God this morning. Amen.
Amen.
The cross, once we realize the cross upon which Christ died, there's something about that that will make us love Him more. Amen.
Right. Right.
To know Him is to love Him.
Amen.
To know Him more is to love Him more.
Amen. That's right.
Christ is not hard to love.
Amen, brother.
If you know anything about Him, you can't keep from loving Him.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
The more you know about Him, the more you love Him. I like that old song, I want to know more about my Lord.
Amen.
Paul said that I might know Him.
Yeah.
He said, I want to know more about the Lord.
Amen.
You see, that's one of the purposes of Sunday school Wednesday night, church going, revivals. That's one of the purposes here is that we might learn more about our Lord.
Amen.
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 We love Him more. Once you look here, Revelation 5, let's talk about the cross. It's something that it's never going to fade away. There's not going to come a time out there in eternity where you don't hear about the cross no more.
Amen.
Never is that going to happen. You say, why? Because the cross was the greatest event that has ever taken place on this earth.
Amen.
Christ died for sinners.
Amen.
It's like the old Indian that went out there and stood on the banks there, and the edge there, and he looked out over that vast region there of the Grand Canyon, and he looked out across that, and he looked up and he said, something big happened here.
Yeah, man.
I want you to know on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, something big happened.
Yeah,
the Bible said it affected above, it affected beneath. Something big happened there.
Amen.
And we're still filling the vibrations down to 2,000 on a Sunday morning.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God for the cross.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
John wrote Revelations. Revelation of Jesus Christ was given to John. Chapter 4, John's caught up into heaven. Chapter 5, he sees a future scene there. He writes it down for our reading. He says in verse 5, and one of the elders said unto him, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loosen the seals thereof. And I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. As it had been slain. You say he's already, at that moment, he's already triumphant. But John does not just see him as a lion, but he sees him as a lamb that had been slain.
Amen.
That speaks to us of the cross.
Amen.
John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
And the cross should intensify our praises to the Lord.
Amen.
What do we got to praise Him for? He died on the cross for you. And He died on the cross for me.
Amen.
He suffered my hell.
Yeah.
He took my beating.
Amen.
He died in my stead. And I say, thank God for the cross.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
you. Thank
you. Praise the Lord.
The cross intensifies when He says that, drop down to verse 8.
Yeah.
He said when he had taken a book, the four beasts and 420 elders fell down before the Lamb. Every one of them had harps, golden vials full of altars, and which are the prayers of the saints. They sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." Yes. That word redeemed, my friend, has to do with the cross.
That's right.
That on the cross he died in our stead. Thank God. Yes. On the cross he paid our bill.
Yes.
On the cross he brought us back. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank you.
His own blood purchased the
church. Amen. Yeah. Me and my wife first married, used to be a little store over on Park Avenue. And we didn't have a lot of money then. We do now. We didn't have a lot of money then. But you'd go buy your groceries and they'd give you these little green stamps. You'd lick them, paste them in a little coupon book. You'd go down to the little store there where you redeemed them. Yeah. They'd have a little, you could order things or get things. You could get lamps and things for your home. And my wife, she'd maybe get one book saved up and she'd call her grandma. She always had a, seemed like a store of them. And mama, you know, she wants something. She's got one book and it takes 15 books. And so mama would give her 14 books to go with the one she had. And you go down to the little store there and she would redeem that. She would redeem those stamps. She would get something for those stamps. Amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you, on the cross, Christ redeemed me.
Yes.
He brought me back.
Glory.
Heaven, thank God.
Amen.
He brought me back to God. And I say, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Val Sexton told over in Asheville, North Carolina, his father was a great preacher, Ralph Sexton Sr. And then his son was a great preacher, and he is Ralph Sexton Jr. But he told a story about the man, about the little boy that his father made him a little boat and put little sails on it and tied a little string to it, and he'd go down there to the river and he'd let that little boat go out and he'd hold it with a string and go out so far and he'd pull it back in. One day he let that little boat go. The string snapped and the string broke. The little boat went well down the river. The current carried it way down the river out of sight. One day, much later, that little boy was walking through Asheville, walking around looking in the windows of the store. He came there to a pawn shop, and as he walked by, something caught his eye. And that little boat was sitting there on a little thing. Somebody had found it and brought it in, no doubt, and had sold it for a little money. And that little boy went in and he said, "Sir," said, "how much is that little boat in the window?" The man said, told him how much it was, and he got the money together, went down there, and he paid him, and he got that little boat, and he walked out onto the sidewalk there, and he grabbed that little boat, and he said, "My father made you, and give you to me." And he said, "You were mine." But he said, "You've got away. You've got away." But he said, "Now I bought you back. And now you're mine. And I'll never let you go." That's what Christ did for us on the cross. Our Father made us. But we got away from God. But thank God he redeemed us. Glory. And he was thank God. And I'll say, praise God.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
For the cross.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And they're going to do in heaven on that day.
That's right. It was settled.
We'll be there. They're going to do in heaven that day what we ought to be doing right now.
Amen.
They're going to humbly bow down. And they're going to praise Him.
That's right.
They're going to happily sing out, "He hath redeemed us by His blood. He has bought us back by His blood."
Yeah.
The blood of the cross.
Amen.
They're going to honestly proclaim,
"Yeah,
worthy
yeah.
is the Lamb.
Yeah.
He is worthy."
Amen.
Oh, thank God.
Bless you, preacher.
He loved me enough
yeah.
to come and die on the cross.
Yeah.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering shame. Amen. And I love that old cross. For the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners were slain. Oh, thank God this morning for Him.
Amen.
You ever read Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan's book? You'll find out that the journey to the celestial city began at the cross. And he goes everywhere asking everybody, how do I get to the celestial city? He say, go yonder to Calvary. Go yonder to Calvary's hill.
Amen.
And old John carries his heavy burden. He makes his way, trying to find his way to the celestial city. And finally, he comes to the hill called Calvary. John starts up that hill. And as he started up to the hill, the heavy burden rolled off his back and down the hill. Oh, thank God for the day I came to the cross.
Woo! Glory to God.
And the burden rolled away, thank God.
Amen.
The burden of guilt and sin rolled off of my back, thank God. And old John and old Bunyan's Christian fell down. And he said, oh, blessed cross. But then he caught himself and he said, rather, oh, blessed is he that died on the cross. I'm glad Christ died on the cross for a sinner like me.
Amen.
Amen.
That's worthy of praise.
Yes, he is, brother.
Amen. And I'll tell you, that cross identifies our position.
Yeah, it does.
You look back in Mark 15, where we read a minute ago, the Bible said, verse 24, when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, whatever man should take. And it was the third hour they crucified him. The subscription over the accusation was written over the king of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Had you been there that day on Calvary, literally and spiritually, if we're saved, we have been to Calvary spiritually,
right?
If we're saved. But if we had been there literally that day, that cross would have identified our position, who that we were siding with.
That's right.
You see, there were those that were just sitting there watching him. Like that you would sit and watch a theatrical presentation, like that you would sit and watch a ball game, and like that you would sit and watch some form of entertainment. The Bible said, sitting there, they watched him.
That's right.
They were spectators. They were just watching what was going on. And I tell you that every church service is filled with folks that come and they just sit there and they just watch what is going on. They're just spectators. They're not a part of what's going on. They're just there to see the show, if you will. And I want to tell you, the cross was no show. The cross was a place where that sin was being paid for, and Christ died for the sinner. Amen. I say, thank God for the cross.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You just been a sinner that day. Are you a sinner today? You just sat and listened. But you don't know the man. You don't know any of the three. As far as you're concerned, it's, they're all getting what they deserve. But if you heard the gospel, you know that middle man wouldn't get what he deserved. He's getting what you deserve.
Amen.
And then there were those that were shouting, crucify him! If you're really Christ, come down from the cross. If Christ had came down, we could have never went up.
That's right.
Amen. His love for us is holding him to the cross. And he won't come down because he loves us so much, but they're shouting at him, crucify! He claimed to be God! And I tell you, there's those today that still shout away with him.
That's
right. They have no need of him.
That's right.
As far as they understand. They do not recognize Him as being the Son of God dying for the sins of the world.
Amen.
And oh, thank God, somewhere amidst that crowd, there were those pushing their way through and weeping as He went and finding their way finally to the foot of the cross. And there was the mother of Jesus, and there
Amen.
Was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and there was John, that beloved disciple, that found his way to the cross, and they were all seekers of the Christ. I want to say thank God this morning. I'm glad that God stirred my heart today to be a seeker of the Christ of the cross. He came and died on the cross and threw me to Him. And I say thank God this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
And then to Calvary, I can say I know the Lord.
Hey, glory
to God. Man, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have died in disgrace that day, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I want the world to know whose side I'm on.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
Amen. I want my uniform to tell whose side I'm on.
Amen.
I want my speech, like Peter's, to betray him and tell him whose side I'm on.
Glory.
Amen.
Hey.
I want what I stand for to line me up with whose side that I'm on.
That's right.
Amen. I want where I'm going on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I want it to line me up with whose side I'm on.
Yeah,
I want on Thursday night when we go out and I want the world to know whose side that I'm on.
Yeah,
when that Saturday night comes, I want to be gathered there. I want the world to know whose side that I'm on.
Yeah,
the Bible said, who's on the Lord's side? Thank God I'm on the Lord's side.
Hallelujah.
I don't want two uniforms where I change into one on Monday.
Yeah.
And I put the other back in on Sunday. Nobody really knows whose side I am on. I want it clearly identified.
Yeah.
I'm a child of God. I'm on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
Tell what you want.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't you reckon when Mary and the other Mary stood there at the cross, John, don't you reckon they knew whose side they was on?
Amen, brother.
Why? Because they was near the cross.
Amen.
Amen. We heard that great sermon during Jubilee. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There is a precious fountain free to all. A healing stream flows from Calvary's mouth. Thank God we need to stay near the cross. You know, it's unbelievable that churches that call themselves Christian churches in our day will go for months on end and never mention the cross.
Yes. Oh, me, brother.
My goodness. That's the whole. If it wasn't for the cross, there'd be no church.
That's right.
If it wasn't for the cross, there'd be no Christ.
Preaching of the cross.
Amen. Amen. Listen, I want you to know that, thank God, don't you know when Joseph of Arimathea went and begged the body of Jesus from Pilate? Don't you know he knew whose side he was on?
That's right.
He identified. When Nicodemus fell in there, don't you know who he is lining up with, whose side he's on?
Amen.
Amen. The cross should indicate our position.
That's right.
Whose side we're on. I'm on the Lord's side.
Amen.
Choose you this day who you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen.
Amen.
And let me say this, closing this morning. The cross, its converts identifies power.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You see, the blood flowed from the cross, and there's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
You see, did you ever notice as you drive down the highways, and I've noticed it many times, those telephone poles, and I guess it was just the design that worked better for what they were doing, I don't know, but as you drive down every little bit, you see them telephone poles that look like a cross.
Amen.
And on those poles, there's lines that are running down those poles and in the personal homes and places. And those poles have no power within themselves. But it's what's hanging on it, what's running through it, that brings the power.
Hey.
And can I tell you, the cross itself had no power. But it's He that's hanging on it, and it's what's running through it. Now, it brings the power of God, Brother Elliot.
Yeah.
I can feel the current move in those lines right now. And I tell you, faith flips the switch.
Yeah.
And this power moves.
Amen. God bless you, preacher. Amen.
Well, there's power in that cross.
Yeah, there is.
I'll tell you, there may have been a blackout on Calvary's Hill that day. But thank God the Lord had a pole man.
Amen.
Amen. He went up and put it back together. Thank God.
Yeah.
He went up and after 3 days he rose from the grave. Amen. And I'll thank you that that cross has the power to turn darkness to light. Thank God.
Amen.
That's a marvelous light. Paul. Let's use Paul. His name was Saul. He hated Christianity. He persecuted the followers of Christianity.
That's right.
And more likely, he even had people put to death.
Right.
He was part of the Sanhedrin. He may have voted on people being put to death.
Right.
He said, I was a murderer, a blasphemer, all these things. But one day as Paul rode down the Damascus Road or walked down the Damascus Road, the Bible doesn't say he was on a horse. And sometimes people they want every I crossed and every T crossed and every I dotted. And they'll say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, no, the Bible doesn't say that. So whether he was walking or riding, the Bible said he run into Christ.
Yeah, it did, Lord.
The Bible says that there shined about him a light from heaven.
Amen.
The power was turned off.
Yeah.
He said he fell down.
Yeah,
brother. He fell down. The voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard to kick against the proof. And Saul said, who are you, Lord?
Yeah.
Who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus.
Glory to God.
Jesus is the Lord.
Amen.
And you won't finish that chapter out till you'll find that Christ hater. You'll find that one that was murdering Christians. You won't finish that chapter out.
Woo!
Till you find the scales fall off his eyes and the spirit fill his life.
Yeah.
And it begins to preach Christ in the synagogue.
Yeah.
You say, what is that? That's the power of the cross.
Amen.
Of the change of life.
Amen.
It can take a drug addict.
Yeah.
Amen. And get him home from the dope high.
Glory.
And get him on a spiritual high. Unlike anything he's ever experienced.
Amen.
And take the drunkard off the bars.
Yeah.
Take the beer can out of his hand.
Amen.
And put a Bible in his hand.
Amen.
And set him on a church pew.
That's your little brother.
Amen.
Power in that cross.
Woo! Glory to God. Set a captive free.
Glory to God. It can take a woman as an adulterer.
That's right, brother.
Fornicator.
That's right.
Make them fall in love with Jesus.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
It can take a woman that's had several husbands and what she's got now is not her own. And it can help her find the man of her dreams.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glory.
It can make her find one that'll love her like nobody else ever did or ever could. And one that'll never leave her or forsake her. And I say, praise God this morning.
Yeah.
I'm for the power of the cross.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Wasn't there no corner. Amen.
Darkness to light. Guilt to grace. Glory to God.
Amen, brother.
I can still go free.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. My chains are gone.
Glory.
I've been set free. When I think about the chains of sin that shackled me, I couldn't say them. You couldn't say them.
Right.
Bless your heart, they were there.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Habits and sins and things that I could not get loose from.
That's right.
But thank God the cross provides power from above to break those chains and shackles and to set us free. Amen.
Amen.
Free in the Lord. Thank God for the cross this morning. The power to turn death to life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Liberty with Christ.
He brought his limp body down. I have a picture up there in my office of Joseph and Nicodemus taking the limp body of Jesus down. His life is the limp. They take him and lay it in a new tomb where never a man laid. He laid him there, but he that died on the cross had said, take my life. He said, I'll lay my life down, but in 3 days I'll raise it.
That's right.
The power. He had the power that came through the cross and the sacrifice on the cross. On the third day he rose from the dead.
Yeah, he did.
That's the key.
Amen.
and blood, there's power in the cross. Give us everlasting life. Everybody here this morning has a physical life, or you wouldn't be here today. You're living, you're thinking, you're walking, you're breathing. You have physical life this morning. And if that's all the life that you ever have in this life, you've missed out on the greatest life, Holy Spirit. Because he that come to die upon the cross, he said, I have come that they might have life.
That's right.
And that they might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
And I've had 60 years of earthly life.
Amen.
God's been good to me.
Yeah.
God has never let me lack for a lot of things a lot of people lack for in this old world. And I've had joys that a lot of people never have in this world. And I've had them over and over and over again. God's been good to me.
Amen.
And if it all ended today, I would have no regrets. I'd say,
that's
God,
right.
It's been good.
Woo! Hallelujah!
All my life, I've had somebody to love me, somebody to care for me.
Amen.
All my life, I've never went hungry. All my life, I've never been totally, completely broke. I've been close to it, but not totally, completely.
Bless you.
All my life, God's been good to me.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, when I got saved, God gave me another life.
Yeah, dear brother.
This life will end someday.
Oh, yeah.
That's an appointment with death, and it'll end someday if Jesus doesn't soon come.
That's right.
But thank God, Brother Gordon, when I got saved, God gave me a life that's called everlasting life, and you can have it this morning.
Yeah, man.
Christ died on the cross so that you can have everlasting life.
That's right.
You see, if I have everlasting life, I must have somewhere to live.
Amen, Brother Rick. That's right.
And so Jesus said, I'm going the way
to
a fair place to you. And if I go away to a fair place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. So God has gone into the Christ, has gone to yonder heaven to prepare a place for you and I. I think it's done now. I think it's done, but we think about all the preparation that God has made in this time that we've been waiting for the Lord to come. What a place it must be.
Yeah.
I have not seen, neither have entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him.
Yeah.
You think Brother Eddie's got life now?
Amen, Brother Eddie. Amen.
No, you wait till then, amen. I got a feeling we're going to all be Brother Eddie.
Amen.
You're like a buzzsaw running down the street to go, brother. We get there, amen. Somebody said, what are we going to do? After we shout for 1,000 years? I said, what you mean? What are we going to do in all that time? You mean after we love on Him for 10,000 years? Thank Him for what He's done. That's we have the full revelation of the sacrifice that took place on the cross. What are we going to do, you say? After we sing all the new songs, we'll talk about Him redeeming us in His blood. Act with you all that there is to see. After that, we have a reunion with mamas and daddies, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and humanly brothers and sisters and grandmas and grandpas. What are we going to do? You mean after we talk to all the patriots of old, and we talk to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and we talk to Ezekiel? Preacher, you mean as we talk to Rahab the harlot and Daniel that was in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I'm saved because of the cross.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for helping this unworthy,
bless my brother,
sinner, this unworthy servant to lift up something as holy as the message of the cross. Oh, God, may it stir our hearts and make us love you like we ought to, like we want to, Lord. But sometimes we struggle. Lord, if there's somebody here today, maybe several people today, maybe a young boy like I was at 10 years old when you arrested my heart. Or maybe somebody in the Lord that's spurned the invitation. And the Spirit's about ready to depart, but it's still here right now. Lord, I pray, maybe some old prodigal that's wandered far away from God They heard the message of the cross and responded with joy and received Christ into their heart.
Yes.
But the allurements of the world in time has drew them away.
Yes.
And when they come today, say, Lord, bring me back near the cross and keep me near the
harvest today.
Lord, just have your way.
Yes.
May no one get glory but Christ.
Oh,
because he paid the great price. May people, Lord, have liberty today because he died on the cross. And that death on the cross gives me a right to kneel down in front of the church and kneel down and praise him. That death on the cross gives me a right, Lord, to shout and to praise the Lord or to bow my head and let the tears fall to the floor because he died for me, and I accept that death as my payment for sin, and I am a child of God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, this morning. When people have liberty to come, I want to ask my son Scott if he'll come at this time.
Oh, Lord.
I want to ask the young lady to go inside the room. He's going to be baptized this morning. He'll go right in that hallway and through that door. I'll be right there with you.
Heaven.
We're going to stand and we're going to say, if you need to come, you come. You come.
Thank you. us, Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless our heart, Lord. God bless you.
We're reading from John, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, whom I well please.
Amen. Amen.
In obedience to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and at his express command, I baptize this, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Bless you. Hallelujah.
Hey.
All right, Brother Keith, you'll get a song. It should be right out. For those who want to come around and shake their hand, you can do that. If you need to go, we understand. It should be right out.
Praise the Lord.
You're all three.